Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us as we face the issues. It's our delight to have you join in each day, joining the dialogue and the discussion about the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment. We'll be talking about today, why celebrate Christmas? Why celebrate Christmas? What is this Christmas season about? What is Christmas about generally? Why do we celebrate Christmas? We're going to be talking about that today, and I pray that you're joining the discussion. Give your, as some have called it, put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have the privilege of talking with you about that very serious question of why Christmas. We have with us today on Let's Face the Issues, Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is up in Georgia. They're getting a little colder weather there than we're getting here. But
amen.
I'm not going to envy him for that at all. I'm delighted that we can talk about this subject today, Pastor, about why celebrate Christmas, and all about Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was amazed at the number at the survey by the Barner Report. George Barner says that only about 46% of Christians celebrate Christmas as a holy season and not just a holiday. And that was surprising to me. It should not be, because we're becoming more and more secularized as a nation. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It was Jesus that said to his disciples, John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he points to the Word of God that we have, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. And he says, "Thy Word is truth," in John 17, 17. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the truth of the Word of God is what we ought to place our hope and our trust and our confidence in. The secularist George Orwell, many years ago, made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that today, especially in what we call political circles. It's governmental circles. We see that today in just about every circle of influence in society. It is sad to see it in the secular world, but it's also sad to find it in the spiritual world, and that is the case. There's so many today that do not know the truth, do not seek the truth, and when you tell the truth, there are those that will get a little upset, uptight, and angry as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said this: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I believe that's what we're going to be called upon to do in this world, even before the rapture of the church, is to defend the truth, even if it means our lives. And the question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand for truth, even if you are standing alone? You go back and look at the church history, and you'll find during our church history time, some of the church fathers, those that stood even and in the face of the enemy, stood alone and faced the burning at the stake, being beheaded, or before a firing squad. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's be sure that we know that we know what the truth is, and that's the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff like they can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. That flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road is about 165 feet in the air. Old Glory flies 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. The question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered today, and perhaps you'd like to answer it, why celebrate Christmas? So why are you celebrating Christmas? What are you celebrating Christmas for? Ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas season, let me just give you a little background, a little setting to set up where we're going when we ask that question, why celebrate Christmas? This season, as a nation, ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves completely in a completely different world. Our nation has faced perhaps the greatest shift in ethics, economics, in moral values and standards in my recollection. Now I realize there are a lot of people that are talking about the 60s and the sexual revolution of the 60s and the dropouts from society and the pot people during the 60s, et cetera, et cetera. But ladies and gentlemen, that was nothing compared to what we're facing today with the hysteria and the fear, and yet everyone seems to be staying in silence. There's a silence, even though there is a lot happening, there is a subtle silence that's gripping our nation. We're being told that even the celebration of Christmas will cause more COVID deaths than has already been recorded. By the way, Pastor Davis, I find it antithetical to anything called truth when, according to the CDC's own records, that which took place in 2018, 19, and 20, 2018 and 19 with the regular influenza deaths, the numbers, according to the CDC, the number of influenza deaths this year has dropped 98%.
Amen.
98%. So what they've done a transition. They've taken all of the deaths that normally would have been for pneumonia or for the regular flu or for whatever it may be, and they've recorded that as COVID deaths. In fact, in the state of Colorado there, the morticians are all upset because they're finding they're being required by CDC to rate all of the deaths as COVID. Even one that was shot three times, and so he died from three bullet wounds, and yet his death certificate showed COVID death.
Amen.
And that just shows what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is the perpetration of a lie on the people of the United States of America. Here's an article that says how state spreads mass, M-A-S-S, hysteria. Mass hysteria I'm reading from an article dated December the 17th. Mass hysteria can cause people to have symptoms. Moreover, hysteria, be it collective or not, makes people behave in ways that prudent persons not affected by hysteria would likely never consider. It is open for empirical research to investigate if and to what extent this would be what this world has been suffering from mass hysteria during COVID-19 epidemic. We all have seen people hoarding toilet paper, wearing masks while driving cars alone, or you've heard stories of people virtually not leaving their houses for months. We also know of people who are scared by the virus, even though their own risk of death is minuscule. While investigating the possibility of the corona mass hysteria is certainly interesting, I would like to focus here on more fundamental question, namely the extent to which the existence of the state can exacerbate mass hysteria. Certainly, there can be cases of mass hysteria in a free society due to the negativity and the bias on the human brain. We focus on negative news and suffer psychological stress when we think We are not in control. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the key. When Americans think that somehow, some way, we're not in control, that the media is in control, that CDC is in control, and they're telling us what to do, we become robotic. And as a result of that, there's mass hysteria. And the mask, M-A-S-K, the mask hysteria has been something that's been perpetrated upon society, and it's an absolute lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I've studied too much on the subject. I've looked at too much empirical evidence and research to think that somehow, some way, that this is truth. It is not truth. We've been fed a lie. But the point that I make is that in the present tense, our society today has had a tectonic shift that I don't see ever going back to what you and I would call normal.
Amen.
Pastor, it's generated a whole state of fear across America. And that fear has redounded to a sense of silence, a sense of the head down, a sense of somberness, a sense of solemnity, a sense of absolute hysteria as a result of what we've been told by the Marxist media and by CDC and their perpetrating the deception on America. And it's for a world global purpose. And we'll not get into that today, ladies and gentlemen, but may I remind us, we are looking at state after state now with the governors operating off their whims and not off science, operating off their risk management, as some would call it, and not off the reality of what's taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of it, it's permeated the minds and the emotions of the citizens. Although we have no evidence of mask preventing the spread of viruses, yet we've had in the state of Florida with 67 counties, we've had 22 counties, including Duval County, that we've had the airheads, if I can pause for a moment, airheads that we call our mayors, that have instituted these mask mandates without any relevance, without anything being relative to science or the reality of it. I'm looking at a new study dated December the 21st, 2020, just posted. New study shows mask mandates had zero effect in Florida or nationwide, but the lie continues nevertheless. Obviously, this article says, obviously, no amount of evidence, data, trends, facts, studies, or science will ever convince most public health officials that masks aren't doing squat to stop the spread of COVID-19. Cases and deaths continue to spike. Well over 90% of the country are complying with their absurd mandates. Further in the article, it says, so how do we prove that things wouldn't have been worse without masks? One way is to look at the data from the few free states remaining. In Florida, for example, this writer says, in Florida, for example, most counties have so far bravely refused to implement mask mandates, while others, usually in high population centers, have done so. Justin Hart, H-A-R-T, and the team at Rational Ground followed them on Twitter. Here is the worth of it. Just released a comprehensive data analysis of mask versus non-mask counties in the state of Florida. And I won't go through the statistical data, all of the numbers and the dates, et cetera, et cetera. Further in the article, if masks did even close to as advertised, one would expect to see the counties that went maskless to be absolute dumpster fires next to counties that implemented mandates, right? This article goes on to say, at the very least, the numbers should favor the mask area by more than a percentage point or two. So how did it go? Yep, it was the mask cult, worst nightmare. And it goes on to talk about the numbers. And the numbers showed that the wearing of the mask had zip, zero, nada, no effect whatsoever on the increase in COVID in those counties that had mask mandates. However, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that based on this study, those that did not mandate the mask, the number of COVID deaths in a percentile, in a percentage fashion, went down dramatically. This article says, in other words, counties with mask mandates in place actually did worse, this study says, than those that refused to implement them. Ladies and gentlemen, I sent this study first thing this morning in reading it. I sent it to some of our state representatives, some of our senators, and to our mayor, and asked them to, and some of our city council members, and asked them to read it and to determine whether or not we should still enforce a mask mandate in our city. This article says when states did have a mandate in effect, there were 9,605,256 cases over 5,907 total cases daily, average 28 cases per 100,000 per day. When states did not have a statewide order, there were only 5,781,716 cases, or 5,777.72 daily cases, 17 cases per 100,000 people per day. So there you have it. It's incontrovertible data, evidence that mask mandate do little or nothing to stop even slightly to curb the spread of COVID. If masks were the answer, wouldn't you expect to see a drop in cases not long after the mask mandates were implemented? End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make with this introduction about what's happening in our nation, we're watching a gigantic tectonic change in America. And I am saddened to go into stores and walk around and see that I'm the only one without a mask. Amen. Or maybe one or two others like me without a mask. And to see people turn and basically shun me and go the opposite direction because somehow, some way, I'm going to infect them or some way I'm going to kill them as a result of not having a mask on. We are dividing society, and as a result of that, we're watching a somber, serious decline in the people movement in America and our coexistence in our nation. And it is having a horrible, detrimental effect on society today.
Amen.
And
Amen.
As a result of that, Pastor, I'm concerned about how we're celebrating Christmas, even told by the mask mandate gurus and the state lockdown gurus that we need to just simply ignore Christmas and not celebrate Christmas at all. Some say, well, just Zoom. Get on the Zoom and Zoom your parents and your grandparents and have Christmas that way and maybe have Christmas together with them at a later date.
Amen.
I know families and individuals, Pastor, that have loved ones in nursing homes that they've not seen for months. They've not been able to visit them. I know of those that have lost family members to death, but they were not able to see them and visit with them.
Amen.
I know those that have had funerals that they could not personally attend the funeral because the mandates and the lockdowns in the state of California, et cetera, et cetera.
Amen.
So what we're saying, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas, we're celebrating the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're celebrating the birth of the one that changed history upon his coming. We're celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus truly the reason for the season, Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that our listeners need to understand, and I hope you hear the passion in my voice today and understand my absolute seriousness on the subject that we've got to stop. Hear me. We've got to S-T-O-P, stop this somber attitude of being in submission and subjection and to become slave servants to a state that's over us that says what we can do, what we can't do, where we can go, and that we cannot even celebrate holy days and holidays and things of that nature.
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
I'm concerned about the future of America if this holds as it is going now.
Well, I think what has happened, Dr. Youngblood, and I thank God for being here on today once again, a radio audience. So we thank God for you tuning in with us on today and listening so attentively, and we hope and pray that you will get something from this information that will certainly be able to help you throughout this season of not only joy right now
yes.
that we're supposed to be celebrating,
yes.
because our Savior, amen, is here.
Amen.
It's not that he has come. He's here now.
Present today.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And it's the sooner we learn to understand that, the better off we can be.
Amen.
We can, you know, get ourselves situated yes. in life to where we know that no matter what happens, God is still in control.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The pandemic, amen, didn't catch him, amen, off guard.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He already had something in place before this happened from the foundation
yes.
of the world.
Absolutely.
So let us not fear, amen. God loves us, amen, and he wants the very best for us.
Yes.
And at this time, amen, we really need to set all this fear aside. We need to sort it out and get the proper definition of what fear really is.
Yes.
Because, Dr. Youngblood, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians have fear just like the world has fear.
Yes.
1 John tells us, amen, that kind of fear has torment. But when we have, amen, a godly fear, amen, that's a fear out of reverence and love and respect for God being our Father, our Savior, our provider, our healer, our deliverer. He is our all in all.
Amen.
Amen. So he's got our very best interest at hand.
You got
he
it.
Wouldn't tell us, Dr. Youngblood, a new commandment that I give to you, that ye should love one another.
Yes.
He wouldn't tell us that, Dr. Youngblood, and then turn around, amen, and expect for us to just sit that on the back burner just because of a virus and not love one another. Yeah. Amen. We ought to hug one another at this season.
Yeah.
We ought to embrace one another. It's not all about the gifts. It's not about the trees. It's not about the lights. Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
And if you have him in your heart on today, if he is your Lord and Savior, set all that other stuff to the back.
You got it.
Amen. Put that stuff on the back burner and
right.
let's love God and love one another.
That's
Amen.
Right. Absolutely. And you touched on that, Pastor, and I'm excited about that because when you see the beautifully decorated trees, the well-appointed Christmas trees, and the beautiful lighting that illustrates and so clearly demonstrates that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
Amen.
And he's
Amen.
Come into the world that we might have light in our hearts and in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I think everybody would agree that Christmas has become too secular, too materialistic. We really need to start over. I mean, maybe we need to learn something from the Amish. The Bible needs to be taught and honored in elementary school through college. Kids today are preoccupied with secular video games, secular sports, ATV vehicles. And we just, you know, maybe like in the old days when this country where kids lived on farms and attended Christian schools, attended Christian colleges. But I guess it's just a pipe dream, but we'll see how things play out.
Well, you're exactly right. And one of the things that's been so antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth and so detrimental to our families and especially to the younger generation in our homes and in our families is the elongated shutdown and the depression that has set in as a result of it. We're having stories now and case histories now where 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, because they could not play football, because they could not be with their friends, because they're not in school, where they have that common interest and that commonality and that, we would call it from a Christian perspective, fellowship. They're not able to communicate with others. They're getting to the point of helplessness and hopelessness and some taking their own lives. In fact, as a result of the lockdowns in America, we've had over 200,000 deaths as a result of suicide, drug overdose, alcoholism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
My.
And that's as a result of the lockdowns. I believe that we're going to get to the point in America, if we do not do a turnaround quickly, that those that are going to die as a result of not COVID, but as a result of the COVID cure, as we're calling it in America, more deaths will be as a result of that than the pathogen itself. And I'm in full agreement. One of the major things we've not done in America for so many years is teaching the Word of God. Our kids need to be taught the Word of God in our home. Our schools ought to have the privilege and the prerogative of teaching the Word of God in the public school system. Yes, in the public school system.
Amen.
It ought to be prayer, Bible study, and the pledge to the flag in our public school system. It
Amen.
Didn't hurt me. And less than 100 years ago in my public school, in all of the grade levels that I can recall, we had the reading of the Bible. We had prayer. We had scripture memory verses. We had the pledge to the flag. It didn't hurt me.
Amen.
And I believe that that's the best thing that we could go back to. So for that possibility, potentiality, only God knows. But right now, I'm concerned about this Christmas season and the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season, but yet he's being crowded out, pushed out, and totally ignored by society in general, and most especially by the CDC and the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci and the other, how would you say, scientists, so-called gurus, that are saying just delete Christmas this year. I'm totally adamantly opposed to that. But you're exactly right, brother. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up and recognize that our redemption is drawing nearer and nearer each and every day.
Amen.
Pastor Davis,
Amen.
As we think about why celebrate Christmas, we need to recognize, and I say this we because I am surprised I ought not to be and shocked and I should not be, but I'm gravely concerned to find more and more Christians that will have a lot of celebration at the Christmas season. There's a lot of festivities at the Christmas season. There's a lot of family and shopping and sightseeing and party celebration. And Jesus is just simply crowded out.
Amen.
And it reminds me, Pastor, of what happened at the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came into the world, there was no room for them in the inn, the scripture says. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Amen.
But the
Amen.
Great question is, that begs to be asked and demands to be answered is, who is Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Let me just read you a little article that's I've used for many, many years, and it's something that I developed many years ago in relationship to talking about Jesus. He was born in the stable over 2,000 years ago. He changed all of history. In fact, you'll recall in Matthew, the second chapter, where the king was petrified to hear that a king was born. King of the Jews, he was called in that text. He was greater than the king himself. But Jesus grew up as a carpenter's son. He never went to college. He never got married. He never commanded an army. He never received any applause from man. He never owned a home. He never committed sin. The Bible says he's high, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners.
Amen.
He died as a common criminal at the age of 33 on a cross. He changed the human calendar forever. He rose again after the third day and ascended back into heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back again.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's the glorious part.
Absolutely.
Amen. Praise
absolutely.
God.
Pastor
Amen.
David.
But you know, Dr. Youngblood, let me say here.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm saddened in a lot of ways to see how Christians are allowing this particular thing to drive them into total hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, and I've seen this on TV, and many of you have also seen the same thing that I'm getting ready to say. When they put the latest electronic gadgets out in the stores, people sleep on the sidewalks.
Yes.
To be the first one
to get them.
To get the electronic gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, they won't do that when it comes down time to come into church.
That's right.
And serving God.
That's right.
Now, we serve a jealous God. God said he's a jealous God.
That's right.
And anything that we serve and give our attention over to more than we do, God Almighty, then he says, that's your God.
That's right.
Now, we need to know and understand, praise God, the word of God says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. Mm-hmm. We need to know and understand that our God deserves all the praise.
Yes.
That we can manage to give him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of not only what he did for us at this season, but the greatest miracle that was ever performed in our life that we could experience besides Jesus Christ coming into the world was the day that he saved your soul.
Absolutely.
Amen. Right. And I thank and praise him for that.
Amen.
Because, amen, that was a gift that I didn't have to wait until Christmas Day.
That's right.
To receive. Amen. A lot amen. Of people, amen, wait till Christmas. You see, amen, tags on the outside of the gifts saying, do not open till Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But Jesus Christ, amen, you can open him anytime you get ready.
Amen.
Amen. That's why, amen, the Bible tells us we can call him in the morning. We can call him in the noonday. We can call him in the evening, and we can call him in the midnight hour.
Yes.
Anytime we call upon Jesus, amen, he will answer our prayer. And I thank and praise God because he's the greatest gift that we could ever receive.
And you never get a busy signal.
Amen.
amen. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, we've got a couple of minutes for the top of the hour news, but I want to tuck this in before then. I'm looking at an article, and it's talking about the historic Jesus, as some call him. Virtually all modern scholars of antiquity agree that Jesus existed historically. Although the quest for the historical Jesus has yielded some uncertainty on the historical reliability of the Gospels, this writer says, and on how closely Jesus is portrayed in the Bible, reflects the historical Jesus, as the only records of Jesus' life are contained in the four Gospels. In other words, this writer says that the only record we have is in the four Gospels, and that's true. It's in the written, revealed Word of God. But at the same time, they're saying that the four Gospels are historically incorrect, that they are uncertain about the reliability of the Bible, is what the writer is saying. Further, this writer says, Muslims believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, but was neither God nor begotten of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can study the Quran as I have, and you understand that the Muslims say that we believe in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. The Muslim Jesus is not the God of the Bible. The Muslim Jesus was not buried and rose again the third day, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. The Muslim Jesus is not God. That's what we want to talk about today, is why we celebrate Christmas, is because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
Amen.
God incarnate,
Amen.
God come into flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.